Odor's ancient skies, I've had these wandering eyes, but you took me by surprise when you let me inside of you. Inside of you, inside of you, there's got to be some part of me inside of you. Inside of you, I could cross this desert plain.
That's right, everybody. I need to be inside of you. I'm inside your brain right now. You're listening to us again.
It's your annual ear infection.
Yes. Yeah,
or weekly.
Yeah, whatever you want to call it. Welcome back.
Sometimes,
or
if you only listen once a year, it's annual.
Yeah. Where was I? Hey, inside of you. Welcome back. Welcome, first-time listeners. My name is Joe.
And my name is Carolyn.
And you are, in fact, listening to the one and only Carolyn and Joe Show!
Inside of you, this king is... And now we're inside of you.
That's right.
How does it feel?
It feels fabulous to be inside of every single one of you, listening on your headphones, listening in the car, listening at work. I hope we're not safe for work, and I hope you're listening to us, because that's how exactly we are.
That's what headphones are for.
Yeah. So, yes, Carolyn and Joe Show, that is us.
So, you know,
I am here to entertain you. This is the show brought to you by Astray Productions, sponsored by curls-studio.com. This is our way of sharing.
It's our way of giving back to the community.
Yes, this is our community affair.
Community service.
This is we have been punished to to spread the word, spread our word.
Put ourselves inside of you.
Exactly.
And next week, I want to say next Tuesday is Valentine's Day.
It is.
So we should have a special show next week all about love.
All about love.
I propose it right now.
That would be fantastic. So yeah, if you guys, if this is the first time you're ever tuning into this show, I'm Joe. This is Carolyn. And so basically on this podcast, we would just let it loose. We let all of our, you know, we give you a sneak peek. We don't give you a peek at all. We just, you know, we tell you what's up. We break it down. We throw it down. We lift it up in the air, spin it like a pizza. This is what we do. This is our invasion of the internet. Thanks for finding us. Thanks for digging deep into the
underground. Black hole of the undernet.
Yes, of the undernet. We are part of the undernet, actually, guys. We are officially part of the undernet. Welcome for, you know, joining us for, you know, being part of our lives as
we're
we share.
We're the armpit of the undernet.
As we share. No, we're not the under... We're not the armpit. But
what body part are we of the undernet?
We are the brain.
Yeah,
we are part of this. We are part of the cerebellum that fuses that evil tenacity, the genius, the absolute uncertainty, the unforgettableness, the unpredictableness. We are the Carolyn and Joe Show, and welcome for tuning in, finding us, and Carolyn has some news.
All right. Which type of news do you want first? Do you want news about a contest or news about a barbecue?
And we'll actually take a contest. We'll do a poll right now on the internet to see what they want to hear first.
Joe, which do you want to hear, since you're the one I'm talking to?
Let's do the contest.
All right. So, I need your help. I do a webcomic called Curls.
Is it just a webcomic or is it just a straight-up comic strip?
It's a comic strip that's on the web. And you can read it at curls-studio.com. Now, what I need help with is that the cartooniststudio.com is running a contest.
So, cartooniststudio.com.
The cartooniststudio.com is running a contest. And if you go on their site and register for their site, which takes 1 minute, it's very easy. It's just a username, password, and you're golden. And basically search, go to the contest section and search for Curls, and you'll find me. And you have to cast your vote every 6 hours. That's the deal of this contest.
But you have a certain number, too. Do you have a number? Do you have a name that we should search for specifically?
You can search for Carolyn Bilewski, or you can search for Curls. I think it's just better to search for Curls. It's easier. You only have to type it in 4 letters. just search for curls, see if you like it, and vote. Because, like, I need votes. And the winner of this contest gets their run on gocomics.com, which is, like, the site for all of these famous cartoons that are on the internet right now, like Garfield and stuff like that. Basically, like, the comic strips that you see in the newspapers, they are all being syndicated online on gocomics.com. So basically, you get the exposure of being around all the other great comic strips that are well-known. So I think that that's a pretty sweet deal. I mean, on one hand, it's like, well, I am already putting my stuff out there on the internet. So, yeah. Like, they're not really doing a service to be like, I'm publishing you, because everyone can self-publish themselves on the internet. And I've heard people debate, like, that on, like, a message board or Facebook somewhere.
But more or less, this is, like, an opportunity to be invited or included in the big party.
Yeah, it's, like, the
we're
big...
We're all the big party goers.
The cartoons, like, hang out there.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I want to, like, it would be so awesome to, like, speaking of parties, you know, like, be able to just walk right in and be like, hey, what's up, Jim Davis? Like, or, you know, or just any of those guys, and, like, Greg Evans, who created Luann. It's just like there's so many great cartoonists on there and great comic strips that have been around for decades, and it's like a launching point. So I feel like the more exposure you get, the more eyes that get on your comic, I feel like it's a good thing. So from what I understand about this contest, Joe, and everyone at home,
yes,
or at work listening, or in your car, or wherever you happen to be, what I understand about this contest is it's 10 weeks, and one strip is posted each week from each cartoonist. And then at the end of each week, the bottom 10% of votes get removed. So basically you make it through different rounds. So I don't know how they determine it. I don't know, like, apparently from what I heard online, people were commenting on Facebook saying that last year you were able to see, because this is the second annual of this contest.
Yeah.
And last year you were able to see how many votes you were getting at any time, apparently. And I didn't enter last year, so I don't know for sure how it went down. But this year you can't see how many you get. You know, it's kind of questionable to me, like, to know how everything is going. So all I can really tell you guys is to vote, and your vote matters, because you can vote every 6 hours, which equals 4 times a day.
But it's not apparently, it's a true fact.
It's a true fact.
It's a fact that I've done that today.
Because there's like a timer. There's like a timer that's, once you vote, it says your vote is counted.
I have voted.
And then it says, here's the next time you can vote.
I have voted, honestly, 3 times.
You've already voted 3 times?
I have.
Wait, have I? Yes, I have voted 3 times as well. Because I voted at right after when it started on midnight.
So that means that you can vote more than 3 times in a day.
Yeah,
you can support.
Vote 4 times a day.
I mean, if you want to show your support for the Carolyn Joe Show, you know, why don't you go ahead and vote for Carolyn's Curls comic on, you know, our cartoonist studio.com contest.
Go to thecartoonistudio.com.
And we're not pandering, you know, but if you want to show support for us or for anything that we do, we don't ask for money, but you could just click a button.
Yeah, it's just a simple way of, you know, creating an account on their site, searching for curls, and then voting for curls every 6 hours for the next 10 weeks.
Yeah, you don't have to do it for every 6 hours, but you know, it'd be great. It's a good way to keep track of time.
If you, it is like I'm actually setting my clock for like 1 a.m. the next time I vote, but like I don't know if I'm gonna do that. But basically, I'm just saying that I appreciate it. And it would be a good dream.
Should you sort of pitch what your comic strip actually is for people? I don't know if we've ever done that purely on the show, but
pitching on the show.
You don't have to pitch it. All you gotta do is sort of like, you know, it's your characters. Let's tell the story about that.
Well,
why not?
You can also check curls-studio.com to see everything. But in general, Curls started in 2002 when I was a student at VCU, and it was published twice a week in the school newspaper. And then after that, it moved to the web. So, you know, and web publishing is a lot easier. You can easily upload stuff, and it's awesome. But the characters in Curls are what makes everything special, because Curls is a girl that just goes around, like, her average day, and all these crazy things happen to her, and she has all these kooky friends. She has a best friend who is a slice of toast, He is a life-size slice of toast.
A human-size piece of toast.
And he has punched out eyes. You gotta look at him. He'll just make you happy. His eyes are like two little holes, and then he has a jelly smile, and he's always super jolly. And then there's Turtleneck. He's a turtle that wears turtlenecks, and he's super awesome, super fun, and he has power that he doesn't know that he even has. So he always is building his courage. And then there's Pitter Patter. He's a penguin. He's a waiter. He's so many things to so many people. And he wishes that he can fly. In one episode, he's flying a kite, but he can't fly himself. A bird that cannot fly. But then there's another bird in the comic strip that can fly named Conehead. And he's a bird with an ice cream cone on his head. And there is also Applause, who is a Siamese fighting fish in the waterweight division. And he always dreams about fighting Evander Holyfield's ear. It's pretty crazy. So that is the world of Curls. You can read more at curls-studio.com. Go to the Cartoonist Studio and vote for Curls. It's pretty awesome. Your vote is appreciated and your vote is needed and you matter and you count.
Yeah, it's also amazing because I don't really do a lot of contests in general. I'm not a big fan of contests because I'm always like, how can you really choose who is the winner?
I don't even know how you gauge.
So really, like, it's really in this situation, it's about promoting, you know, and I hope we can always I believe in this contest specifically by getting the word out about Curls. Of course, you're getting the word out about Curls.
Yeah.
So that's always a plus.
It's always a good thing to talk about it, so then more people check it out. The other thing, like, for them is if they're getting all these accounts created in order to vote, they're getting more people to drive traffic to their site.
Oh, yeah, there's always a thing.
And if you have to come back every 6 hours,
yeah,
then, you know, you're getting hits.
Yeah, I mean, that's the same thing with the Papa John's head and tails thing that we just won for the Super Bowl that just happened the other day.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, man. I mean, I've never go to the Papa John's place, but it's just like, well, you know, let's get a free pizza and a 2-liter Pepsi, you know, the choice of a new generation.
Did they ever say what type of pizza you get? Is it like a medium or large? I'll have to read it closer.
I think it's a large. I'm not quite sure, though. We'll have to figure that out.
That's pretty amazing that they're giving away a free pizza and Pepsi. Like, it is pretty amazing. Like, it's actually pretty awesome.
I believe it's probably all paid for by Pepsi.
And in addition, the Giants won the Super Bowl. And I just want to say I was happy about that.
You also got to think about it, though. How much does making a pizza really cost?
Probably not that much, but think about how many they are giving away.
That's true.
I mean,
but then at the same time,
in a large quantity, I don't know. How many people do you think even won?
I mean, you can always base this off of this. It's also like, well, I don't know what the email says when you get the winning.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
You got the golden ticket.
Yeah. I don't really know what that says, but it feels like, oh, if I'm going to get this pizza, I might as well get another one. You know what I mean? Because a lot of people always buy pizzas in twos.
Yeah. It's a way to get you in.
It's a genius way. I think that's how like all contests really are. Even like film festivals, it's like, you know, it's a money thing, but it's also like that's promotion, but in a way everyone can win in some good way.
Definitely.
So with the Cartoonist Studio, it's also a way to
promote themselves.
To just get the work out at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, there's downsides you can look at it in any contest, and then there's positive side. So I mean,
because I remember Adam Lucas, who won for Zuda, right?
Yeah, Zuda.
Like
the
he had to like really, yeah. He like really had to like promote like crazy.
Like pester.
He even
almost to the point where it was like a borderline, you know, like pestering.
So those are one of those downfalls where you sort of lose your life, or you have to submit to your life in a way to gain people to notice you, and then also just gets really personal to a way.
Yeah, like I think I'm gonna promote for this contest, but I don't think I should like. For lack of terminology, I don't think I should like worry myself over it, because there's a couple people I know that were very close to winning these type of contests.
Yeah,
and or they either did win or they were very close, and it was almost like frantic. I got like that type of vibe from them, and like even when I promoted today on Twitter, I promoted it like 3 times, and I was in my head, I was like, "Does this sound desperate?" Because it kind of does. But like, I mean. That you have to do that because different people are going to be online at different times. Like, there's certain understandable things. So If I talk about it a lot, I just want everyone to bear with me for the next, hopefully, 10 weeks.
So are we going to be promoting this for 10 weeks straight?
I don't see why not.
I think we should.
But, I mean, like, just to, like, clarify these contests, it's like, when it comes down to it, like, same thing with American Idol and stuff, like, when it comes down to it, it's kind of like, well, who can really say that one is better than the other, necessarily? It's just a luck of the draw, and, like, even when we were, like watching Miss Philippine, like, My Girl beauty pageant.
Wait.
We weren't
did
actually
you, did
watching
Did you say
it.
We?
Well, we weren't watching it.
I wasn't watching that at all.
I wasn't watching it either. But it was on. It was on the TV.
Let's clarify that I was not watching that at all.
We were. It was on in the background. We weren't sitting down to like gather around and watch it.
I actually don't even think I was in the room when that show was on.
Well, anyway, you caught a glimpse of it, and it was kind of irritating.
It looked like any other thing that was on in the Philippine channel.
Like, on one hand, though, okay, you have, like, all these, you know, beautiful girls out there, and you can't really, like, look at them and be like, that one's better than that one. Like, it's pretty much, like, kind of hilarious at that point, because it's like, it's wait like, a second. I mean, like, there are differences, like, oh, this girl had shorter hair and this girl had longer hair.
Yeah, because that's the point of, like, oh, yeah, she's better because she has short hair.
I mean, some people might are like, that girl has a little bit of wave in it, you know? Like,
it's like, oh, 10 points off for that one. She has a wave that's misplaced.
But it was no. But
that's
really,
how they talk over there, by the way, America.
But
universe.
Like, but none of them actually had any misplaced hair. They all looked great. I don't, you know, you can't really pick out like any flaw. So I mean, when it comes down to it, it's a matter of personal preference, or even like American Idol and stuff. It's like when it comes down to like the final people that are up on the stage, like they all have something to offer. They all have a talent. So it's kind of like, I mean, you might personally be like, oh, I prefer this person, you know, but that doesn't mean
wait,
that the
let's
rest...
clarify that I do not watch American Idol.
I just want to clarify that I do not watch it either, but it's
I don't
just
even
the
know
easiest
what happens...
thing to talk about.
I don't even know what happens on that show. American Idol? Do they make statues?
It's basically like Star Search. It's Star Search. I'm just using that reference because, you know, American Idol is pretty huge, though. Like, we don't watch it personally, but it is a pretty huge show, and everyone's familiar with it. I'm just saying, when it comes down to it, the people that, you know, are left standing, they're there for a reason, I guess. And
yeah.
it's kind of like, but then at the end, it's really hard to say, like, oh, this is better than this, because why? You know, like, there can be reasons, but at the same time, there can be reasons for the other person. So it's really, like, the luck of the draw, and...
Yeah.
Like I was honestly a little hesitant, like even entering this this contest for the Cartoonist Studio, and I just kind of was like, heck, might as well do it, you know? Like I didn't make a list of pro and cons and like analyze it, but I felt like there was more opportunity than to enter it than to not enter it.
Yeah.
So.
Why not?
That's my reasoning.
Not? You know, why not?
That's my reasoning, and I just, you know, like as far as I'm concerned, it's like. The more exposure and getting, like I said earlier, the more people that, like, get exposed to the comic and maybe, like, they can like it and then keep checking out the comic. So that's like, awesome. So go Curls.
You did a thumbs up there. Like, we can...
Go Curls.
Like, we can see
vote
that.
Vote for Curls. Do you know what? Talking about this is so awkward because now I'm, like, thinking of the presidential election. And it's, like, really hard to talk about yourself. And be like, I'm going to promise all these things
Wait
for the
a
country.
Minute. I can prove you wrong that it's not difficult to talk about yourself.
I'm still
sometimes,
getting used to it.
Sometimes I feel like I have a problem with that.
You do, but I'm just, like, for me...
The show is called The Carolyn and Joe Show. What are we talking about here?
We're just talking about ourselves. But, like... It is hard to like persuade people to vote for you. Can you imagine like running for president though?
Well, but see, here you go. We're not going to guarantee that you'll win. It'll be great if you win. But it's almost in a way, it's like you can't. This is how I think about contests. It's like, well, I can't be arrogant and say I'm going to win because that can be jinxing myself. But it's almost like you don't want to downplay it because no one's going to get noticed because then you might lose. So you have all these variables at play. It's like you can tell people, like, vote for me, but then you got to keep reposting it because some people might not have seen it. So you got to make sure that you're not annoying people by overposting, but you still want to get noticed from people who happen to not pay attention all the time whenever you're posting anything. So it's like you have all these amazing variables. And at the same time, it's like, how many times do people actually vote or click on things to vote for. You know, there's always that variableness of, say, like, oh, now I gotta sign up and do that. That can always deter people. And then you have that people of like, I'm not gonna read a comic strip. That's for kids. Or I'm not gonna read a comic strip. I don't know how to read. Or I'm not gonna read a comic strip just because you told me to. Or I'm not gonna read a comic strip because I got shit to do. I'm a grown up. I do grown up things. That's comic strips for kids. Or they have people like, oh, I love the arts. I think I'll vote. But I don't love it that much. Or I love it a little bit. You know what I mean? There's all these maze of variables. You know, it's also like, oh, the power went out. Oh, now I gotta reach the people on the West Coast. I gotta reach to people on this. You know, how am I gonna get the people in Canada to vote for me? You know, how am I gonna get all these different variables?
Some people might like have the attention to vote, and then like, but that then at that same moment the phone rings, and then they forget that the website that they were on.
Yeah,
and or, they might have been right registering at that very moment.
Or also, there's another variable of like you posted on Facebook or you posted on Twitter, someone will retweet it. But they won't post it. But they think they felt like they did something because they retweeted. Or on Facebook.
Or you mean they won't vote, but they'll be like, good job.
Yeah, they'll do that. Or on Facebook, someone will like it. But that's not, that's the wrong button you want them to push. You want them to push the one inside of the link.
Yeah, they totally have to like register first.
So that's the thing. There's so many variables out there when it comes to contests. Now, again, against me, I don't really do contests because I probably just don't give a flying fuck what anyone really cares about. But yet, I sort of do. Well, actually, I do to a point that it works for me.
The thing is, though, if you win or if you get like the runner up or whatever, I don't know what position is.
I always assume I'm going to lose. Anything that's above losing is a surprise.
But what I'm saying is that if you do like gain some notoriety from it, you can use that as leverage and be like, oh, this won, or oh, we got in second place or something.
But like,
you know?
I feel like the mentality towards anything about, you know, like anything like that, like, oh, I shouldn't go for it because I'm going to lose. Well, it's like, all right, go for it because you know you're going to lose. And if you get anything above that, that's great. You know what I mean? It's almost like you have nothing left to lose. So why don't give a fuck and just go out and overpromote it? Because you know what? At the end of the day, probably no one really cares. But you got to get those people that don't care. That's the important part. It's just like when you're selling Girl Scout cookies. Not everyone needs to eat these cookies, but you need to get that money for a badge. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what business is all about. Yeah, it sort of might be cutthroat. And also, maybe you might lose friends or people who thought they were friends or something like that. But who cares?
I hope I don't, like, lose all my followers or something. And then they're just like, oh, she's promoting too much.
Yeah, but see, at the
unfollow.
End...
And then it's just like, well, I guess if you didn't want to hang with me for a little bit of promotion, then, you know,
well, it's
you
also
gotta
like,
hang.
It's also like, well, they probably weren't paying attention anyway.
Perhaps.
But it's okay.
I mean,
everyone's understanding.
I've seen my friends promote for contests.
But
or even
though,
like, even
but even though a friend, those guys, you know, they got lives to leave, so they're probably going to vote once. They're probably not going to vote every six times.
Oh, that's fine. Even if somebody, like, if you can vote 4 times a day, every 6 hours, that would be awesome. But if you can't, I understand. If you can even vote once a day, that's great. If you can vote once a week, that's great.
Maybe the tactic should be we need to get people to pitch it for us. Like, you can get Al, you can get those, you can go to the DC Conspiracy and say, hey, help me vote, or anything like that. Help vote for this.
Yeah.
Because in that way, do less.
Like a group thing.
Yeah, so that becomes a unit, so you start getting the lackeys around you to do it for you.
Don't call them lackeys.
All right, the fans.
I mean,
no,
it's
just
like
joking.
Support
I'm
groups.
Just joking. Hey, I'm just joking.
I actually like that term, lackeys.
I do like that. I take it back. I'm not joking.
But it does have a negative terminology to it, but it also kind of has cool terminology.
So does
to
Jesus
it.
On the cross, but we flipped it into something good.
That is
it's
true.
It's a symbol. A symbol. A symbol for everyone to take. No, just kidding.
You do sound like you're running for president now. It's hard. I'm trying to like get votes. Okay, anyway.
It was
enough
funny
with this vote
it's
getting.
Because my dad and I were watching the news one time. It was just recently. And of course, there was a whole bunch of horrible stuff happening on the news, and politics came up. And he brought up the fact of, like, how are we supposed to vote for anyone? Because, on you know, there was the news of, like, the people are overtaking Syria because they hate the government, all these people hating the government. And, of course, people here hate the government. But I was like, And he was like, well, who are we supposed to vote for if we don't like anybody? And I was like, you know, that's a good question. Because usually they sort of force you into whose side. It's like you only they make it
you're
sound
either
like...
either with us or against
yeah,
us.
Yeah, they make you choose a side, right? But if you don't fall for any side, then it's like, well, then I won't vote. Then like, well, you have to vote. It's stuff like that. But it's also at the same time, it's like, well, at this point, it's like everyone has all these great speeches. And they're paying money for all these... They're paying money so they can speak well. They're paying money so they can have a great speech. And it's like, at the end of the day, it's like the person that probably will lead us the strongest and have the best ideas probably does not have $35 million. So I was telling him, I was talking to my dad about that. I was like, yeah, it's tough because how many really, really nice people and perfectly honest people do you know can get that mad ass money?
But also, how many people truly, deeply, really want to be president of the United States?
To actually be president or just to say I was president?
To actually be president and do the job seriously.
I don't know.
And like, well, that's what I think. Like, I think that less and less people actually want to be president. Because sometimes you hear about like good people that don't want to be president.
It's almost like they just want to be.
They're like, no, I don't want it that. I don't want it that much.
It's almost like you're chosen to be president. No, we're choosing you. And that's how it is. You're being chosen.
I feel like. You know, in my opinion, I feel like Barack Obama was definitely like groomed.
So that's president. it's definitely politics is another contest with votes.
Because also Barack
everything's based off
Barack
of that,
Obama
isn't it?
Was one of the presidents that's actually I mean, he has money obviously, but you know, not his whole life like that.
Yeah.
He didn't grow up like with a silver spoon in his mouth. But I feel like he was somehow along the line positioned for greatness. To have that position.
He was chosen. He was a chosen one.
He was a chosen one by the Illuminati.
But by Leonardo DiCaprio.
By Leonardo DiCaprio chose him.
Yeah, so it's always...
Didn't Leo support him too?
I don't know.
I think he did.
So many people like chose to support them and now they're all turning their backs. I don't care about politics. Name one positive thing that came out of that.
I don't know, but like...
Not saying that it's like... bad. Not saying that I hate the government. Not saying any of that. I'm just saying, just like any normal person, it's like, well, you know what? We can always make things better.
You know what I think is interesting?
Look at now. This. I sound like a freaking politician. I apologize, America.
What can you do any better?
North America.
Can you do any better?
Can I do any better?
Yeah.
I think my ideas are too radical. Brian Sarvis wants to abolish all government.
How are you supposed to do that?
You should hear when he talks. He's like, dude, I think what we really need to do is just to like get rid of all of it, man. Just start over. Just press reset. And I was like, how's that going to work, Brian? Just press reset? Can you actually just press reset on government? Just like,
how do you make laws? Or how do you, like, if somebody like, has just like,
gonna
a court case?
I was like, something. we're just going to start the government system over. I was like, how's that going to work? But I was like, that might be so crazy enough that it might work. But the thing is, though, if it does work, you're going to have those jealous people that are like, jealous people that don't want to change it. You know what I mean? It's not the fact that it doesn't work, because you got to get the right people to believe that they work. You know what I mean? You got to get the people behind you. To do that, even though if it's a perfectly good plan, if it's a perfectly awesome idea and concept, that's just one tenth of the way. You got to get like the right people to push it and put it in place. So Brian, I'm not sure if that's gonna happen.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that.
But it could work, sir. But people might just go insane. But sometimes, man, you know, you gotta can't make an omelet without breaking a few eggs.
You need to run for president.
What were we talking about?
Like, I don't think there is anyone that really wants to run for president that is, like, one of those, like, you're saying, nice, caring people that would, like, actually do some good for the country.
Yeah, they want to do it like some other, like, another tactic.
Yeah, I feel like those people are putting their energy into something else. I don't think that they really want to run for president.
They want to make, like, the electric car or the hoverboard.
Or, like, for example, I don't know. I mean, I have honestly not been paying too much attention to politics recently. But, like, Newt Gingrich, it's like, I heard on the radio that apparently, and I wish I could talk more intelligent about this, but I don't know all my facts. But, like, apparently he, at the college he was at, I guess he was teaching for a year or something. And, like, within the first year, he wanted to run to be, like, president of the university. Like, within the first year, and then apparently all the other, like, people that have been there for, you know, 20 years are just like, who the hell is this guy? He just, like, comes here and, like, wants to be president of the university. Like, on one hand, it's kind of brilliant, because it's like, oh my god, this guy just, like, comes in and, like, he wants to take charge, you know?
Instant promotion.
And then on the other hand, though, it's kind of like, imagine if you were like a professor, like a knight, like, you know, like, I'm a professor for 30 years, you know, like those type of guys.
Yeah.
And then, like, here comes, like, young Newt Gingrich that comes from out of nowhere and is, like, a young scrapper, you know, like, that's only been there for, like, less than a year. Yeah. And he's all like, I'm going to be president of the university. Like, you know, like,
what
that
happened?
Type of, but you know that type of thinking.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess part of it, like, might be a little jealousy, but then it's also, like, the type of thinking that's like, who the hell is this person? Like, who do they think they are just coming right here and, like, taking over, you know, taking over the kingdom?
So did he become president?
I don't know. And it would be good to find that out.
I bet he became president.
But isn't that interesting, though? It's kind of like they were describing him as that's his type of mindset is just like, I'll be the president.
And but
like,
see,
just taking it.
But
taking
here's the thing. It's like it's one thing to say, I want to be president and then not do anything about it. But it's perfectly awesome and dangerous when someone's like, I'm going to be president and he could back it up. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, you run into a lot of people. Creatively, in any creative field or anyone where it's a collaborative effort, where like, yeah, we need to do something, and nothing ever happens because those guys are just, I don't know, that's life happens, and they never actually, you know, they're like, I want to make a pulp book, and they never actually step forward to make a book like that because it's just a spur of the moment thing, and they don't have the energy or they don't understand, like, listen, you have an idea, do it, instead of just waiting for me to do it for you. A person that actually goes out there and says, like, you know what, I'm gonna climb this tree, and then the next day he starts climbing that tree and he fell down. Got back up, and he started climbing that tree again and got to the top. That's exactly the most dangerous people that there are. People who say, I'm going to do something, they freaking do it. And this then getting like, everyone to notice that.
This is like in, like, Aviator when the dad talks about, like, that little mouse that churned the butter.
You mean
cream.
You mean in Catch Me If You Can?
Oh, Catch Me If You Can. They're like, that little
two
mouse.
Two mice were stuck in milk. Was it milk? No, butter. No, they because
you
they churned
to, you need to
they,
say,
they churned it into butter, and then that's how they crawled out.
He was like, two little mice.
The Christopher Walken character in the beginning of the movie of Catch Me If You Can, not to spoil it for anyone. Movie starts out with a speech, and Leonardo DiCaprio is his father. I think it's police force or something like that. And he's sitting. His father's going to get an award, and his father says a speech once he receives the award. It had to do something with a... I guess two mice fell into like a bucket of milk.
No, it was butter.
But if it was butter, it wouldn't work.
They churned it into cream.
Right? I'm trying to figure out what it was, but it was either butter.
They were stuck in a substance.
Yeah, they were stuck in it, and then one of them quit and he drowned. But the other one, he kept on struggling, and he struggled so much he turned that
butter into
cream. But yeah, if it was cream, how would he get out? It had to be hard enough that he can crawl out, so it had to be butter because it's...
Or he turned that...
Milk into butter. Yeah, so he turned that milk into butter. And then at the end...
everyone's like,
and
oh.
Then no, that wasn't it. But then at the end, he was like, I am that mouse. And this is... I was like, that's what it is. So with that, I think that's an awesome...
It was like, and he turned that mouse into butter or whatever.
That was later on. But that's a good freaking... That's awesome because it's like in life... Everyone's always drowning in milk or whatever it is, you know, or cream, whatever, you know, you guys get the idea. Everyone's struggling in that, but the more you struggle, sooner or later, you'll be able to crawl out and you'll succeed and you'll reach out of the bucket or whatever the hell they want to call it.
Yeah.
Catch Me If You Can, man. My number two rated film, number two favorite film of all time.
But for some reason, like Newt kind of reminds me of that. Like he's all like, I'll be president. Hell, I'll take over the country. You know, like, he has, like, that type of attitude, which on one hand is actually kind of cool. Then the other hand is kind of, like, scary as hell, because it's like, what the heck?
It's
you want to be president.
It's also like, somebody's got to do it, and I'm the guy with balls enough to do that there, son.
But you've heard, I'm sure, that this has been well reported, even if you don't pay attention to politics. Have you heard about, like, the whole thing about Newt and his ex-wife?
Ex-wife?
Because that's what I always hear, like, about how, like, apparently, he basically asked his wife for an open marriage.
Hey, this is episode 160, by the way. That's amazing. Open marriage, yeah.
No, have you heard about that?
No, I don't really pay attention to any of that.
But, like, and then everyone is making a big deal about how, like, you know, he got a divorce and stuff. And then, like, you know, they just don't like how he, like, treated his past women, I guess. But then on one hand,
why
it's like...
Why don't they ask the women?
They did.
And they were like, I don't like the way he treated us in the past.
Well, the wife was like, yeah, he asked me for an open marriage. And then she was like, I didn't want to do that.
So who does?
They got divorced.
Because basically that's his way of saying, like, I'm tired. I'm out.
So
peace.
Then if he's going to act like that to his wife, then, you know, who's to say that he might, how would he act as a president?
That's a good
point. I'm just bringing that up.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
I'm not endorsing anyone. I'm just saying.
That's why politics are so vicious. That's why running for any contest is so vicious, isn't it? Because you get you know, torn apart. They'll be like, "Oh, we can't vote for you. You're on the Carolyn and Joe show."
I don't understand
you guys say crazy stuff.
I don't understand how everything gets so political, though. Like certain things, I guess that's how our world operates. But then sometimes it's like I see people being all political over like comics or something. I'm like, this is comics, man. We're supposed to have fun, you know? Like it's like, really? Are you gonna wheel and deal and be all like, you know, presidential or something? Like, sometimes I see people, like, get too into it, but...
Before we get any further, we're still talking about our announcements. Magic bullet number 4. Welcome,
That's
guys.
That's a great segue.
I just didn't want to cut off. We need to talk about it. Magic bullet number 4. Take it away, Carolyn.
All right, everybody.
Here's the news music.
Dun 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 dun.
Magic bullet number 4.
You're invited. Everyone in the whole entire world is invited to this. It's gonna be awesome. Washington, D.C. has a comics newspaper called Magic Bullet, and the 4th edition is coming out next month, and they are having a release party and barbecue on March 3rd. It's a Saturday. From noon to 3 o'clock at Big Planet Comics in Vienna, Virginia. And everyone is invited. There will be a barbecue in the parking lot. And there's going to be original artwork on display in the comic book store. So come one, come all. You're all invited. And there is a Facebook page where you can RSVP. And I will post that link sometime this week on the website.
Exactly. I mean, everyone loves comics and barbecue. Unless you're vegan or a vegetarian, then you just love comics.
Yeah, so come for the comics.
And also you can be able to see the creators of those pages that are going to be
there.
Yeah,
a lot of the creators are going to be there. So,
so far, on the page, it says 12. No. Yes, 12 are going to be in attendance.
That's awesome. You get to meet a dozen people that make comics in the D.C. area.
Yeah.
I'm down. And Joe and I are going to be there.
And also, it's what I think is really great about this thing, about this situation. Magic Bullet, we've done many of them, and we signed our name on the contract. We're there.
It's for life.
We're gonna be the Carolyn and Joe show will be at that release party. But I think it's pretty awesome. There's a release party for a comic.
I think that that's pretty awesome.
I think
that's not anything new, Jeff.
No, but what I'm saying is that's awesome.
Yes, that is awesome.
I know that's probably something that's happened, but like in the DC area, there's never been any release party for any comic that I've seen.
Has there? Well, release party, I'm not so sure, but there has been like book signings.
Yeah, but is it part of a barbecue?
As far as I know, there has never been a comics release party and barbecue.
Yeah, so definitely.
This is a whole new deal.
So also, yeah, you know, Big Planet Comics and the great comic book store. You know,
they have multiple chains, so we just want to be clear that this one's in the Vienna.
Yeah, in Vienna, off of Ox Road. You know, off of Ox Road. You'll be able to find it. It's next to an Italian restaurant, too, so it's pretty awesome. But yeah, March 3rd.
Noon to 3.
I wonder what happens if you show up early.
I guess you have to set up then.
Barbecues are just awesome in general. I love it. It's going to taste good. I was thinking about barbecue last night, and that pretty much showed up. So yesterday what day was it? Or during the Super Bowl, you know, for some reason, everyone was making, at least from what I heard when I was paying attention to the whole world, that one day everyone was all talking about how Madonna can still go, when Madonna can still perform, or the fact that she's old and she can still perform. Is this really a thing, Carolyn? Is that what's happening?
It is a discussion point.
First of all, discussion points, since we're going to do water cooler talker in general while I click off this page, or I'll check what's on here. What'd you think of that performance?
I thought the Madonna Super Bowl halftime show was actually pretty awesome. I've talked to a few other people of, like, let's say an older generation, and they have said that they did not think it was awesome.
What did they say?
Mostly moms and librarians.
What, they say they did not like it?
They did not enjoy it. And I was like, what? Even like, the, like, LCD, like, flooring? And they're like, no. And I was like, what about that guy that was on, like, the tightrope thing? And they didn't enjoy that. And, you know, they just... I don't know, it just seemed like there was a generation gap. But also, Madonna's songs have been around for, like, over 20 years.
Well, so for the past couple years, what have you had? The Who, you've had, who else?
Black Eyed Peas was last year, I believe.
Yeah, Black Eyed Peas. Basically, what I've noticed is a lot of people always complain about the halftime show.
Oh my gosh, they were so complaining. Like, I wasn't on Twitter during the halftime show, but... like, I guess the next commercial break I went on, and I was just, like, looking down my list of people I follow, and either people were making jokes about Madonna's age, which I thought was, like, becoming a thing, like, just to be, like, cool or comment on it. You know, it's almost usually, like, they weren't trying to dig on her. It was more of just, like, they were joining in the club.
And with me trying to be the hipster or the cool cat or the freaking greatest person that I ever see, I always, if everyone's doing it, what do? Not do it.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess that, you know, that was a thing. And but then also everyone was just complaining, and honestly, it was a little much. It was almost like everyone just had to throw in their towel or their, you know, their two cents to be like, I'm going to talk about the Super Bowl and I'm going to complain about it. Ha ha ha! I'm cool now. I'm a hipster.
There always is that point now that we have so many avenues. You have Facebook. You have Twitter. You have, I guess, you have Google+. That since you do have that avenue, it's like I should say something about this. I need my opinion known. I guess we have a podcast in which we do the same exact thing, but at least you can hear our voice, and also we try to entertain you at the same time. So that's different, guys.
But with this whole Madonna thing, like, yeah, I guess, like, I honestly don't really consider her old, but for her age, I mean, give it up, you know what I mean? Like, give it up for her, because it's like, she looks better than people our age. Like, you know, half her age. So it's pretty awesome if you think about it. I mean, granted, some other people might argue, they're like, yeah, well, it's amazing what plastic surgery can do and stuff like that.
Or, and
like,
it is amazing what plastic surgery can do, but plastic surgery cannot make you perform.
But also, like, you know, people are like, oh, yeah, I wish I could just, like, have a trainer and, like, do yoga all day, too.
Yeah, but they don't take that extra step, do they, to get that trainer and do yoga every day? They try to do yoga once, and they're like, oh, fuck that. You know what I mean? People always quit.
But it's like, I always hear these, like, comments like that, you know, like, oh, if I could only do that, I'd be Madonna too, you know. It's like no, actually, probably you won't.
Yeah. But you're, like, not, you're not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and you don't even do rock music, so.
But what I want to say about Madonna, and this will be, like, my closing point on this topic, is that when Madonna, like, went through the escape floor, and then there was, like, the fog everywhere, and, you know, she disappeared, she left me wanting more. I was like, wait, that's it? I was like, I want more. And I feel like that reaction is the best reaction.
Well, let me ask you this on that drop through the fog. Some of these people are saying that might have been a mistake because she looks like she fell unceremoniously.
I think people were just trying to make a joke.
Well, what do you think? Do you think that was part of the act, or do you think she fell?
I think that was it.
So what do you think that fall meant?
That she just, like, fell through. She just, it was like trap door.
No, but fog. It was literally like, oh, I pulled the lever and she fell through a hole type deal?
Yeah.
Well, what do you think that's supposed to mean? Because why would they put that at the end?
It's supposed to mean world peace.
By falling through a hole?
Yeah. Because at the end, didn't it say world peace?
Yeah, but she fell through a hole. I was always wondering about that.
It was unexpected.
She didn't get dropped. She didn't get lowered through a hole. She, like, fell. Sort of just like, ah!
World peace, man.
She's like, I'll sacrifice myself for world peace for you, the viewer at home.
See, I think that effect, or that drop, was meant to, like, you know, it meant to be so quick that it was like, oh, that's it, I'm gone now, poof, I'm gone.
I really want to know how that was, because that looked like a pretty vicious fall. Like, someone would just take a...
I mean, I'm sure they had, like, a padding below.
They probably did. Yeah, but she's 50, come on.
No, they had padding, come on. I think the effect of it going down so quick was more of like a poof, I'm gone, like magic.
How old is Madonna anyway, really?
She's like I don't know, 54, 52 maybe? I mean, dang.
54,
hell,
52.
If I'm in my 50s and I look like Madonna, I would be happy. I would be like...
It's funny because
busting out the jam.
It's weird. There's something that I don't believe anymore is in like the power of like age, or the power that people the power that age has on people. Yeah, I know when people get older or when the years pass by, you know, the body changes and some things don't work as well. But almost, I've just been things like that have been proven wrong for some reason. I feel like if everyone just takes DDP yoga or something like that, they take care of the body better.
I mean, like, I can see older people in my office, and I see some people, for example, eating healthier or eating, you know, like fruits.
Because
and
times have changed, right? Because, yeah. Like, the mistakes of the stuff we didn't know, I guess, that they didn't know back then, that they consumed back then, was hurting them in the long run.
What I'm saying is I see people eating healthy, and then I see other people eating unhealthy and, like, not really moving their body and being, like, a slug. In all honesty.
Yeah, so you're not really going to get anywhere for the slug.
There's the slug person, and then there's the person that's moving, eating, and eating healthier.
And Madonna, so, because there's always those, I remember at the beginning of one video music award where it was like a person that was stripping, and you know, their back was to the camera. It was all like super muscular and shit like that. Mm-hmm. And they turned around, it was Madonna. We're like, damn, Madonna's old and she's freaking buffed out and she's ready to kick some ass.
Heck yeah, man. You gotta maintain. And also, like, she's worked so hard her whole life.
And also, she's always been sort of like the, on the edge, not on the edge, but, you know, a legitimate trailblazer of not doing what she did before. You know what I mean?
She's the master of reinvention.
I feel like a person like that would always want to be on their toes the best they can.
Of course.
Not on their toes, but, you know, in conditioning that's ready to go whenever they feel like doing it.
Exactly.
Not just resting on your lore, you know, whatever that...
Laurels.
Yeah, your laurels.
All right, so here's the question of the night. Comes in from Anthony on Twitter.
Where can we find Anthony? Doesn't he have a studio?
Yes, it's Fire Studio. And Anthony writes, I want to hear a fierce debate about the merits of pesto versus traditional red sauce on pizza.
What's pesto?
F, yeah.
What's pesto?
I believe that is the white sauce.
On pizza?
Yes.
Are you going to put pesto on pizza?
Well, so apparently that's the fierce debate we're going to have.
Well, how does pesto taste like?
You've had it before.
Have I?
Yeah. Like
chicken pesto?
Yeah, like with pasta.
Well, I guess the choice is now it's white. White versus red, right? Against
on pizza.
The pesto versus that. That seems like an Olive Garden style pizza as opposed to like, oh, let's get down to New York. And you get a straight-up New York-style pizza or something like that, right?
Yeah. Well, you know that white pizza? Do they use pesto on that?
I don't know.
It's like pure white.
Either way, it really comes down to, like, I feel like for me as a human, not really a human, but a...
You're not really human.
You know, it's like, I don't know, I can't really imagine pesto being on pizza because it feels like it'd deliver a gourmet style of pizza. And can't quite say I'm a fan of super gourmet style pizzas. What are you? Because sometimes I feel like I just want that broken down. I just want that simplicity. I'm a minimalist, so I sort of enjoy that.
So what do you enjoy on your pizza?
I enjoy pepperoni. No, I enjoy pineapple.
What about salami?
And salami. I guess I'm not really a traditionalist.
Together?
Not really a traditionalist, am I?
Do you like the...
I'm loyal.
The pineapple and salami together?
I don't think I do those together. It has to be one or the other. But none of them had pesto. I'm still trying to figure out this pesto taste.
It's white sauce, I believe.
Like an Alfredo? Can you imagine Alfredo on pizza?
Oh, maybe we should try it.
Maybe we should try it. And maybe it might be delicious, like pesto. Pesto.
So you prefer the red sauce?
What is it? It's just the normal tomato sauce?
Yeah, like the traditional red sauce.
I guess,
on your pizza.
And also, in that same sense, a lot of people have different sauces because Papa John's has their own different type of sauce, too. You know, mm-hmm. Pizza Hut has their own different sauce. So it really comes down to that. It's like eating pho. Like, it all comes down to the way they use their broth. What about you? What do you think?
I prefer the red sauce. And with pizza, it's, like, kind of hard to go wrong with pizza.
The Philippines, on the other hand, last time I was there, could not get that pizza correct. They're probably using pesto.
Were they putting white sauce on it?
I don't know. It just doesn't taste right, man.
Well, think about it.
It was Pizza
think
Hut.
Think about the visual
Pizza Hut,
of
too.
White sauce it on was, pizza.
I don't want to visualize any white sauce in anything, man.
Man, how quickly do you read my mind? I was just talking about pizza. But what I'm saying is, like, you know, there's also red sauce. Females have that.
Ew.
I just ruined pizza for everybody.
Ew.
Anyway,
vagina juice.
That's different.
Vagina anyway, cold.
Anyway, what I'm getting at is
vagina okay, nosebleed.
We were talking about pizza. Please.
They have a nosebleed.
Ew. We're supposed to be talking about pizza.
Yes.
Now, what I'm getting at is that I enjoy the Pomodoro's pizza and Pizza Bolas pizza. And Pizza Bolas pizza has, like, a little bit of chewiness to it, which
that's
I enjoy.
True. It's
I
that do crust.
Like, I like that crust that's a little bit chewy.
So really what it comes down to is that crust. The crust has been pretty awesome on a pizza.
Crust is very important to me.
So
I think
the
that
sauce.
The crust is the most important. In fact, crust is my favorite part of the pizza, specifically the rim of the crust. That's like a breadstick at the end.
Yeah. What if it's stuffed?
I'm not as big a fan of that. I feel like that's too gimmicky.
Like it's like straight it's, up
it's,
gimmick.
It sounds like cool on the surface, but then it's like they're trying too hard.
It's straight up a gimmick. Anything on a pizza is a gimmick. Like, oh, extra cheese. That's a gimmick. You know, garlic bread.
Regular...
Garlic bread, anything. It's a gimmick. Dipping sauce is a gimmick. Footlong is a gimmick. Breadsticks is a gimmick.
What about the square pizzas?
It's a fucking gimmick, man. Oh, it's square now.
I don't like the
Sicilian
square pizza.
Sicilian style
I just
gimmick.
Want to say, I am officially declaring war on the square pizza.
Don't do that. It's delicious.
It is delicious, but I much prefer the circle with the triangle slices.
And we're going to end with that, ladies and gentlemen. Vote for Curls.
Vote for Curls on thecartooniststudio.com.
And don't forget to check out curls-co.com, always a gracious sponsor of this show. And also don't forget to visit astrayproductions.com, who produced this show, and check out goastray at tumblr.com. Why not? Why not? Why not? Why not? Inside of you. My name's Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Have a good night!
Thanks, Anthony, for the question.